Wanna buy a bit of zombie takeout then? What's up? Welcome to episode 125 of
Zombie Takeout,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And no listener submitted this week, so we're just going to get straight into the news. First story from Cinema Blend. Sean Levy shopping post-apocalyptic road trip rom-com.
Oh.
From a studio's perspective, Sean Levy's a bankable name. As a director, he's helmed such lucrative titles as Cheaper by the Dozen, Night at the Museum, and its sequel. Quite a pedigree. So when he comes up with a potential concept and a spec script from blacklist screenwriter Brian Duffield, you can understand why a studio like Paramount would be willing to take a gamble. The project, according to Heat Vision, is titled Monster Problems, which the trade describes as a post-apocalyptic road movie in the vein of Mad Max and Zombieland, with a John Hughes-esque love story at its center.
Oh.
Levy would most likely produce and hand off directing duties to someone else. I don't know what to think of this.
It sounds awful.
The post-apocalyptic road movie I like. The rom-com aspect could be interesting if it's handled well. They mentioned Zombieland, which I loved, but his pedigree is not good.
Right.
Cheaper by the Dozen and Night at the Museum. Yeah, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah, Night at the Museum, for what
it was
not
okay.
That bad. But that Cheaper by the Dozen, oh, man.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really realize Steve Martin could be that unfunny.
until that. Eugene Levy.
Yes.
It was disastrous on both parts.
Just jaw-droppingly bad.
Yeah.
Why an exec would, like, entrust him with anything after that is
okay.
Beyond me.
The part I didn't mention during the reading. Cheaper by the Dozen made 138.6 mil, and Night at the Museum made 250.8 mil.
Well, yeah, I remember Night at the Museum making a lot of money.
And Cheaper by the Dozen wasn't far behind. As bad as it was anything but a flop.
Well, the problem is, they're kids' movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really don't have to have that great a movie.
Right.
As we remember from, you know, our time in the business, it didn't matter as long as the kids could come and see it and, you know, buy all the candy and junk with it. You know, it was gold.
Yeah.
Who cares if it was blubber?
To clarify, by time in the biz, we co-owned a movie theater. We didn't like work in the movie industry.
Right.
But I like the idea. Even if it's Hughes-style love story, I can roll with that.
They're throwing around all sorts of good movie examples.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but
you know what this is going to be really like.
He's done, yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, we're probably going to end up reviewing it someday.
Yeah. It's going to be like that Babes in Toyland movie.
Yeah. We decided not to do that one, I think.
I think we did, yeah.
On to some better news. Attack the Block director Joe Cornish to tackle Snow Crash. Deadline reports that Joe Cornish has been hired to both adapt and direct a feature film version of Snow Crash, based on the novel by Neal Stephenson. The title is set in a future where the world isn't divided by governments and countries, but rather corporate franchise city-states and private enterprise. The rest belongs to the mob.
Hmm.
The story follows hero protagonist, H-I-R-O, that's a serious character's name, as he works to stop a computer virus drug called Snow Crash from destroying civilization. The novel's rights were originally picked up back in the early 90s when the book was published, but after going nowhere at Paramount, they were transferred to Disney, where it did the same, and Paramount recently got them back. I recently started listening to the audio version of the book. I'm about a third of the way through now. The name is cheesy, but the book is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read it?
No, but, you know, I see what they were referencing. Yeah, I see what they did there.
And about a quarter of the, actually even probably about two, three chapters in, the name doesn't even strike you anymore. It's just his name.
Right.
To give you an idea, it's a combination of William Gibson and Douglas Adams.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant book, and it the first scene, the beginning, it's describing the hero. At the time, he works as a delivery driver for a paramilitary pizza delivery service run by the mob. And there's a fair amount of action. It's cyberpunk set in, you know, the kind of trashed city environment. Based on Attack the Block, I think Cornish will do a brilliant job on it.
We should review one of his movies soon.
Yes, that's right. And on to this week's movie, directed by the aforementioned Joe Cornish. It is from 2001, Attack the Block. Which brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Fireworks. If you're fighting an alien invasion and need cheap, improvised artillery, try Fireworks.
And also brought to you by Dumpsters. When you want to evade aliens who don't quite know how to operate the lid of a dumpster, you can always hide in a dumpster.
Of course, you might have trouble getting the lid up yourself, but you'll probably survive.
Yeah. All right, so we have I'll tell the story as it is here. We have a small gang, and they're defending their territory until a rival gang just seems to fall from the sky onto their turf. Now, of course, the difference here is this rival gang is a gang of ape-like aliens. I think the problem is the first one that came down looked more of your traditional, Sigourney Weaver alien.
It was a young one.
Yeah, or a female, I think.
Okay, possibly.
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying.
The smaller female at the beginning. I have some trivia about that. Okay. That's what they were referring to.
And, the pheromones, or pheromone-like substance was attracting the other ones. But anyway, our hero named Moses kills the female that fell down
Not
first.
Not quite the hero yet.
Well, yeah, he's in the process of mugging this poor nurse at the beginning, and the mugging is interrupted by the alien falling from the sky. The alien attacks Moses and then runs away, and Moses hunts it down and kills it. And I was thinking, wow, what a different approach to the alien invasion movie if there's not like, you know, if they're not, if there's a vulnerability to the alien when they come down. You know, not that it's an invincible thing and they have to find some stupid thing it can't touch water
right.
But, you know, what a change that would have been if, you know, all of the aliens were like that, you know, if they were just, okay, it got stabbed, it's dead. Now,
they
really
pretty much were.
They were. They were just, they had tough hides, so, you know, they could take some shots. But if you did stab them in a vital area, they were dead, yeah.
Or burn them or blow them up.
Right, right. In fact, they seemed very vulnerable to any sort of firework. Mm-hmm. Even if the firework was kind of away from them, if it just went off near them, that seemed to be enough to do away with them. Mm-hmm. They were highly flammable aliens.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so they try to hide out in this drug lord's apartment, and... The drug lord kind of goes nuts because he blames the invasion on them, and they wind up meeting back up with this nurse to help them.
After one of them gets bit.
Right, after one of them gets bit, they enlist the nurse that they mugged in the beginning to help them out, and when she sees the aliens, of course, that have landed, she agrees, and, really, hilarity ensues
at that point, yeah.
Yeah. There really isn't any more details you could give.
Oh, without spoilers, no. So, yeah. Well, as I mentioned last week, I have been bugging you to watch this for almost a year.
Yes.
Did it live up to the hype?
It did, yeah.
Okay.
I think it was... I mean, it definitely held my attention from beginning to end. I took very few notes, which is kind of a sign of two things.
Surprisingly, I have more than usual and only two little complaints, but... As I said on many forums and social networks after I first saw it last summer, this is the movie John Carpenter has been trying to make for 30 years. It is everything that his movies kind of have failed in. You have the anti-heroes.
Yeah.
You have, the legitimately scary villains. Although I do have a slight issue with them. They had no texture. They're
Well, I think.
basically these furry gorilla-like things, but they're pure black, which I like on theory, in theory, and would have worked beautifully in a comic book or maybe in animation, but in a live-action film, they lack texture. They just kind of don't seem real.
Well, I think that was a pretty clever point.
It was an interesting idea. I just don't know if it quite worked.
It was to, you can't see any flaws if you have the creatures too dark, and if you keep the cameras moving quickly to not, really look at them, or else they're going to come off like some Doctor Who alien.
Incidentally, they were done, with the exception of a little bit of CGI where absolutely necessary, they were completely practical.
Right.
And there were only two suits. Obviously, the female and the male.
Really?
Well, there were only two alien suits, and I'm guessing the female counts, because
I didn't.
there was a I don't want to say an actor, but a stunt performer in the female costume.
I didn't think there really was.
Yeah.
That seems too small,
That's why
though.
I was wondering if that was necessarily the female, because I'd have a bit of trivia saying that there was a woman in there. Very small one. But I don't know if that was, but the rest of them were all kind of the same size, so. But yeah, they were practical guys in suits with a little bit of CGI added, and even the teeth were practical, which was
Yeah.
very impressive.
You could tell too. I mean, it looked absolutely real when you did see them.
Yeah. And you don't see them for a while, so it's
No.
at least the adult males or whatever they are. The main ones throughout most of the movie.
They take a very Hitchcockian approach to how a lot of the violence happens. It happens off screen, which, I mean, it worked in this because, you believed it was happening. It wasn't that it was fake or anything.
Now, back when we reviewed Clockwork, you weren't familiar with the actor I mentioned I'd like to see play Alex in a remake.
Yeah.
It was the guy who played Moses, John Boyega.
Oh.
I could easily see him playing Alex.
Yeah, in fact, that is who this character pretty much was, wasn't he?
Very much
Now I
so.
think about it,
W
yeah.
not without the humor, but yeah, very much. Now, one thing I absolutely, one of the many things I love about this movie, it does a brilliant job of taking these kids who are despicable thugs at the beginning
Yeah.
and turning them slowly into heroes, and yet never letting you forget that they started off as thugs.
Right.
It never lets them off the hook for that.
Yeah, I think, and yeah, I agree with that. I think it sort of got off the almost went off the rails at the towards the end when they were pretty much playing upon, I don't know, almost like the messianic kind of
Well, the hero moment where basically Moses was saying, "I have to do this." That
Yeah.
point, I kind of like that because it was him finally accepting his fate.
And the whole thing with the British flag and
Well,
stuff,
the
the
flag
Indian
was
flag.
that was my that's my other only other complaint. The flag bit was a bit cheesy.
Yeah.
How he takes care of the aliens, he basically blows them up, gets thrown out a window, and manages to grab onto a flag hanging out the window to save himself. That's my only other issue with the movie.
Right, and that whole scheme in itself, it works on paper, how he'd blow them up. It's just the execution of it. How does Sam get by all of these aliens without
Because
being
she doesn't
attacked?
have any pheromones on her.
I knew that was kind of the answer, but they've attacked other people without pheromones on them, like they were
Only people who posed a threat.
the kid in the dumpster, the drug lord,
The drug lord. Well, no, you're right. Not the drug lord himself, because he was a threat. He attacked. He went after the alien. But the his assistant who went
Right.
out the back of the car. Right. He just looked and got attacked. You're right.
Right.
Okay, that was a little inconsistent. You're right about that.
But I mean, these are minor blemishes,
Yeah,
really.
absolutely. One thing I will say for those who haven't seen it or who are interested, and I highly recommend it. I think my rating's pretty obvious already.
Yeah.
The accents can be a little hard to understand.
Yeah, but I mean, they're accents. You know, what do you need to
In fact, the U.S. distributors were concerned that American audiences wouldn't be able to understand them, and were saying that they might want to subtitle the movie.
Oh my God.
At a Q&A at South by Southwest, Cornish asked the audience, "Can I ask you guys something? American distributors are nervous about language, the slang. Could you understand it?" The audience shot back a resounding yes. So they didn't have any problems with it. I had a little trouble the first time I've seen it, the first time I saw it. I should say this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've seen it inside of a year.
But it's fine. I mean,
By this time, I had no problem understanding it.
that's the problem with the movie industry, is that they give no credit to the audience whatsoever. And I guess if you see movies that, the ones that are the top sellers, I guess that would be why you wouldn't want to give them any credit, because, they've gone out to see the Adam Sandler movie and stuff.
Cheaper by the dozen, right?
Cheaper by the dozen, grossed 120 million, did you say? 160?
138.6.
Oh my God. That's just a babysitter right there.
Now, back to the movie. It was marketed as a comedy, and there are some good gags, but it really starts off as a straight-up action movie at first.
It is much more action
It
than a
was
comedy.
less comedic than I remembered it being. Although, from the comedic side, I gotta say, Nick Frost was brilliant in this.
Yeah, that is kind of the other complaint. They needed more Nick Frost, of course. And it's not that much of a complaint because, I mean, he was good for what he did,
And he was he basically he's the guy who owned the weed room that they hung out in, that they hid out in, I should say. And for the most part, he's playing straight.
Oh yeah, he's the guy that doesn't want to be bothered with any of it. Like,
And it's
is it
o
still dangerous out there? Yes. Okay, close the door.
and this is the I think this was the first time I'd seen Nick Frost play straight, because he's completely the buffoon in the Blood and Ice Cream movies. He's really good as a straight man. In fact, if you haven't seen it, there's a series called, I want to say Hyperdrive. It's a BBC sci-fi comedy. He plays the captain of a starship. He is the straight man for the whole series.
No kidding.
Brilliant.
I was looking to see if I'd seen these in any of the British shows that I watch, and I think one of the girls that was their friend, she was in one of the Midsummer Murder movie, things, but that was it.
And
No,
Nick
no.
Frost was the only actor I knew
Well,
before
yeah,
coming into
Frost, of
this.
course. It's a shame they couldn't have worked Peg into this somehow.
I think that may have been a little too expected. I like that they gave him, like, and in addition to being the only time, the first time I'd seen him play straight, this was the first time I've seen something with just Nick Frost. I thought up until then that he only worked with Simon Pegg. I thought it was like he was like Jay, you know.
Although, how cool would it have been if Peg was the drug lord?
It would have been funny, but I kind of liked they also played that a bit straight. They had your typical, thug as the drug lord, which makes it that much more satisfying when he gets eaten alive by the aliens.
Spoiler.
I don't know if there really are any spoilers in this movie.
Yeah, you can kind of see stuff coming from
Except for the
pretty far
very
away.
end, which I think I will leave. I don't think I'm going to spoil how it ends, because that I really like the direction they took there. But the scene where he gets eaten, when they're kind of doing that circular shot, the aliens all crowded around him, at one point they eat his nose off. Very horror movie. I like that little touch in this action comedy, that it just was willing to go that horrific.
Gruesome.
And the kids all did a great job too.
Yeah, my favorite has to be the one who is hanging out with Frost, the son,
Oh,
I guess,
Bruce.
of the more middle class.
The guy who basically was the comic relief.
Just the, oh, my car.
Oh yeah, he was great. The way they tied him watching that nature documentary into the explanation of the aliens.
Well, you kind of knew something like that was gonna
Very dude,
back
where's
to
my
bite.
car?
Yeah.
Completely reminded me of that. And the way they fit that exposition in was nice. It was very subtle. Well, not subtle, but it didn't seem like Basil exposition.
Well, they—that was half the reason why they took it there, was because of them watching those National Geographic
Right.
shows, and maybe he would know something about this.
Oh, that's right. That was it. It wasn't just the impenetrable weed room. It was also he knew about animals.
Right. Maybe he's seen something about this.
Yes.
As if National Geographic is a show about aliens.
Well, I don't think at that point they knew what they were dealing with. I don't think they'd put it together that they were aliens at that point.
Right.
Because they were in Ron's place when they saw all of the spores coming down.
Right.
And they realized it was an invasion. But when I said the kids, I meant the gang.
Yeah.
All first-time actors, as far as I know.
For the most part, yeah. I
Yeah,
think
and
Moses did like a Law
yeah,
and Order.
he did some TV stuff, John Boyega. I think the rest of them were all first-timers. And the kid who played Pest, I loved. The one with the fireworks.
Yes.
He was hilarious.
I think the very young kids were great
Yeah,
too. Mayhem and
and props,
Props.
yeah.
For that age to act that well.
Also, did you notice that one of them was named Biggs?
No.
The one who ends up trapped in the dumpster is named Biggs. Has to be a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, why not a wedge too?
And like I said, the great thing about this movie is it takes these villains in any other movie and just slowly turns them into heroes, and that's all on Frost and Jodie Whittaker, who played Sam. They're kind of the audience's perspective.
Yeah.
And the more those two start to like these guys, the more you start to like them. Which is why she had to help out with the plan at the end and really, push him and support him.
Yeah.
Because she's the audience perspective. What she
I
thinks
don't know
about
how
them
they
is what
could
you
have
think about
worked
them.
that, where they could have still had her somehow getting out of there and turning
She
the
had to
gas
be
on and
able to slip
stuff.
past them. You're right,
Yeah.
it didn't make a lot of sense in hindsight. But the fact that I've seen this four or five times and I didn't never thought about that until you just brought it up, it doesn't matter.
She walked through an entire room full of them.
Yeah, and they ignored her because they just said she doesn't have any pheromones on her.
Huh.
By then you've forgotten that they attacked other people with no pheromones on them.
Huh.
Although, come to think of it, I may have a workaround there.
All right.
The assistant who it just randomly attacked when he looked behind the car, he
Yeah.
handled the female. He touched it. When Moses first
Yeah,
brought it up to
you're
the
right. He
people,
did actually, didn't
yeah,
he?
he actually held it up.
He
So
did.
he had pheromones on him. And for the aside from that, it just went after Moses and Hi-Hats, the thug, the
Right.
drug dealer, who was
Because he was
always
a threat.
posing a threat to it. The dumpster, I don't know, that's a tough call. It did headbutt the dumpster a couple of times. And Moses was the only one of the kids who got the pheromones on him.
Right, it was very weird. It was, sitting outside waiting for him like a dog, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he even tried to sneak out, and it jumped, but it didn't jump in the dumpster after him. It just kind of jumped at him, and he went back down into the dumpster, and the standoff continued.
Right. And the whether or not they had eyes was a little inconsistent. I could have swore there were a couple of times when you saw eyes.
I
Most of the
thought
time they
so too,
didn't.
but I think they kept, pointing out that they were blind.
But most of the time they didn't have any eyes whatsoever. It was just the mouth. But I could have swore I noticed a couple of times where you did see eyes. Again, another minor thing. I also really liked that they were willing to kill a couple of the kids, and I won't name names.
Right.
But two of them don't make it. And that's really surprising for a movie like this.
Well, they tried to keep it real as much as they could.
Yeah.
I mean, only the final ending I thought was convoluted. Everything else I thought was pretty damn convincing.
And also, another brilliant thing, they never explained what was in the Super Soaker. I mean, you can put it together if you think about it for 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
Which I had to do, but
I think it's quite obvious it was the Super Soaker.
yeah. Well, basically, Props shoots these two young kids, Props and Mayhem. One of the older kids takes a gun away from him, and they still have the super soaker, and they're as the older kids are walking off, one of them says it's not water. And then later they douse the alien with the super soaker, and then the other one throws a rather large firecracker at it. And I was wondering what was in the super soaker until then, and I figured either gas or alcohol, one or the other.
Right.
Something very flammable.
Turning the alien into a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah. Because I thought about that for a minute. I was going to nitpick it and say, how did it get set on fire by a firecracker? And then I realized, oh, right, there was
They
probably
doused.
gas in the super soaker, right?
Or you just picture them emptying cigarette lighter fluid into out of
Something,
each lighter.
some sort of flammable liquid, yeah.
Yeah.
I assumed gas, just that was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, same here, but I'm thinking, yeah, now that you mention alcohol, that's a pretty good candidate too.
Easier to get a hold of, probably.
Yeah.
They said there was very little CGI. It was mostly all practical. There's one shot that I'm sure had to be CGI. Just before Moses leaves the weed room and he's on his big heroic scene at the end, Pest shoots a couple of fireworks out. They straddle the camera.
Huh? Oh.
The two fireworks come at the camera, one on either side.
Right.
I don't see how you could have done that practically.
I was just thinking a lot of the distant shots when they were taking of multiple creatures. I mean, obviously, if they
Well,
only
they
had.
were rotoscoped, so they only had two costumes, so they were duplicated.
Oh.
Yeah, they duplicated, the same two people in the one or two people in the costumes.
But there were a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, to have done that. I think a lot of the climbing and, well, they did a lot of play with shadows. So you're saying those were probably real also and not CGI?
Well, no, anytime you saw someone in an alien costume, it was a guy in an alien costume.
Hmm.
It was a stunt performer. But the point where you see multiple, they just shot the same, they just basically took the same person and duplicated them in multiple places on the screen.
Right.
I'm guessing. Because they don't say anything about using CGI for that, so they probably just pulled him out and, multiplied him. Probably green screened it.
Yeah.
Oh, there are two stories as to the inspiration of this for the movie. Cornish has said that it was inspired both by a real life mugging. Five kids mugged him, and he basically then decided to research their lives.
Oh, wow.
And
So
it,
he got mugged.
yeah, and he was Sam basically.
Yeah.
He also said that it was inspired by watching Signs and wondering if what would happen if South London was invaded. So it's kind of amusing that you mentioned Signs.
Well, how could you not with an alien invasion movie now?
Oh, also, the areas and surrounding roads are named after well-known British sci-fi writers. Wyndham Tower, John Wyndham. Moore Court, Alan Moore. Huxley Court, Aldous Huxley. Wells Court, H.G. Wells.
Right.
Clark Court, Arthur C. Clarke. Ballard Street, J.G. Ballard. Adams Street, Douglas Adams. Clayton Street and Clayton Estate, Joe Clayton. And Herbert Way, Frank Herbert. I didn't know that until researching it for the show. I knew it was obvious. I'd never noticed it before.
Yeah, that's wow. It's not quite like the Orbison, Rogers connection or Orgasmo.
Also, on with regard to research, he interviewed various kids in youth groups in order to find out what kind of weapons they would use in case of an alien invasion. That's how he came up with baseball bats and katanas and fireworks.
Fireworks. Oh, wow.
Which again fits the characters perfectly. Okay, so on to sequels and remakes.
On to sequels and remakes. Well, whether we like it or not, I imagine they would probably do an American version of this.
I haven't heard anything about that. It doesn't surprise me at all. But there has been talk of a sequel. According to a November 2011 article on Collider.com, Cornish revealed that producer Edgar Wright had come up with an idea for a sequel, though he was remiss to reveal it. He also mentioned that John Boyega had come up with an idea. With regard to Boyega's idea, he said he has this image of a bigger alien attack on London, as if the attack we saw in Attack the Block was just the first wave,
Right.
And there's another wave of bigger creatures, and he described to me this image of Moses leading a whole army of hood kids across the Thames next to the House of Parliament. He had an image of Moses on a police horse leading this army of hood kids across the Thames. He also said that they've been approached to do a TV spinoff. Now,
ooh.
A sequel, had it done better, I don't think it did too. It had such a limited release that I really don't think it did numbers that would merit a sequel.
I didn't think they really, you know, gave much to it. I thought for what they had, I thought they did put in, I thought they did gross a pretty good amount.
Maybe they did. I'm guessing on that.
It was a very limited release, but I think for the amount that they had, I thought they had grossed quite a bit.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Let's see what we've got here. That can't be it. That's very small. That's got to be just one weekend. I think it only grossed like $1 million.
Oh, wow.
That can't be right.
No.
Well, opening weekend in the U.S., it only had 8 screens.
Well, yeah. That could have been opening weekend in the U.S. was $1 million.
The opening weekend was $137,000.
Oh, yeah.
They don't add up the totals. That's rather annoying. Yeah. Or maybe that is...
It only made $1 million.
Yeah, I think it only made like $1 million.
Which means it's not getting a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't really think it needs a sequel.
I don't think so either.
It stands on its own. And I don't really... I hope they don't do an American remake, although it's a distinct possibility.
I would think so.
I don't know how they do a TV series.
I can't see a TV series, but I could definitely see... You know, I was kind of wondering while watching this, how long would aliens last if they, like, landed in, you know, the south side of Chicago here?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling a lot of people in the communities that they would land in would be, you know, they would have a lot of objections to...
Yes. And probably handle it in a very similar manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems... There haven't been many successful British to American translations.
No.
The Office is pretty much the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
And so, why try it again? When it doesn't need to be done. The statement has been made. The movie's been made.
Right. I think people can withstand the accents. I think
absolutely.
Can figure it out.
And if you can't the first time see it again, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And more you see it, you will obviously learn to understand it more. All right, so on to brains.
On to brains.
No surprise. I absolutely love this movie, despite a few minor little issues. I'm going 5.
Yeah, I can't take an entire brain away for the stuff that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Moses, you know, got it tough shtick was a little too thick, and the whole, you know... Union Jack thing at the end
that
is kind
was,
of annoying.
I'm with you on the flag, yeah.
So I'm going with 4.5.
Okay. So what have we learned?
We learned that... I don't think I learned anything off this one.
I learned that nothing brings people together like a common threat. So until 3 weeks from now, yes, we're taking the next couple of weeks off. You're moving, and then it's Independence Day here in the U.S.
This will be our last recording without central air conditioning, hopefully, for me.
That's good. So in 3 weeks from now, we will be reviewing Shoot 'Em Up. Just found out about this one, so we're pushing Sucker Punch back a bit. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, and of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, the movie list, which has every movie we've done so far, every movie we're looking to do, the suggested movie forum, which we really haven't had any suggestions on for a while, so please, make suggestions.
The listeners are slacking.
You can also send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01, or for the alphanumerical challenge, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
Always from the middle of Milwaukee.
Until 3 weeks from now, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
are. There you are.
This is too much madness to explain in one text.
Obviously learned to understand it more. Okay, so what have we learned? No, sorry, rating.
I was kind of like, wait, what?
We have two outtakes this week.
What?
All right, so on to brains.
That can't be it. That's very small.